Those who believe will be honored. Those who do not believe. And this is part of the love. To be true to the message today, to be true to the love and the grace of God, you have to know why you need to be saved. Because sin separates us from God. And if we trip and fall on the cornerstone of Jesus Christ in our rejection, we're not making it.
Hi, friends, and welcome back to Live in the Light. We're thankful that you've joined us here today. Hey, one of the things you need to know about Live in the Light is that we absolutely love to hear the stories of God at work in your life. We love to hear those stories. In fact, if you want to reach out and connect with us and tell us maybe how God has been working in your life through this ministry or even through this current series, we'd love to hear from you. You can reach out on our website at liveinthelight.ca, or you can phone us up at 1-844-22-LIGHT. Hey, God is at work. We love to see God at work, don't we, Robbie?
That's why this ministry's here, Craig. It's lives changed for the glory of God. That's why we see ministry in our church. That's why we see ministry on the radio again, that one life at a time would be changed and thereby giving God such glory. And the passage today in 1 Peter 2 speaks exactly of that. God's at work. God's building his church. God is choosing people. God is making them holy. God understands that you are mine and we belong to him. Incredible foundational truth. Listen, loved ones who are listening, incredible foundational truth that will take any cloudy day and allow us to see the sun. So may the sun of the God and the sun, the rays of his glorious brilliance shine upon you through his word today.
All right. May God indeed do a great work. Let's get our Bibles open to 1 Peter chapter 2. And to today's message, here again is Pastor Robbie.
When Jesus Christ returns to judge, who will be honored? Those who believe will be honored. Those who have faith in Jesus Christ will be honored. But notice how clear the Bible is. But for those who do not believe, and there are some in this room right now, you are here right now and you do not believe. And I would not love you if I did not tell you the truth. So I love you by telling you the truth right now. In fact, God's word tells you the truth in verse 7. The stone that the builders rejected, the builders being the Jews, but also anyone who refuses to believe in Jesus Christ, they are rejecting the claims of Christ. They are claiming he was not God. I don't want nothing to do with him. I hate him. I want to be God. Anyone who rejects Jesus Christ, notice the stone they rejected, Jesus Christ, has become the very stone which all of life depends on. And then verse 8, he now quotes Isaiah 8, and he says this very serious, a stone of stumbling, Jesus as the cornerstone for those who have rejected him have become a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They trip over the cornerstone and they will not fare well. They will not live. Again, the end of verse 8, they stumble because they disobey the word. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. If you stumble over the cornerstone of Jesus Christ, you cannot help in your disobedience that you will fall away. So let's look back at our items here again, the building items of God in our house. Look at this. We have the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. Everything depends on him, everything. The living stones are believers in Jesus Christ, but now the unusable stones are those who reject Jesus Christ. In verse 6, whoever believes. In verse 7, to reject him, reject life. It's amazing here what the world tosses to the side and says is foolish. But the world so often in our day just keeps tossing Jesus Christ to the side. The very thing they think, oh, that's what a joke. That's ridiculous. That thing they have tossed to the side has become the very rock of eternal life. And notice here, the Bible goes out of its way to show us the devastation of unbelief. Notice this here. Notice unbelief is so devastating because where other sins undermine the law, what does unbelief do? Unbelief undermines the very gospel itself. Unbelief undermines the good news of Jesus Christ. So it's unbelief that rejected Jesus Christ. It's unbelief that killed Jesus Christ. And listen, it's unbelief that will be useless at the return of Jesus Christ. So in verse 8, it says, in the end, it's unbelief that will stumble. In the end, it's unbelief that will fall. In the end, it's unbelief that will be found in ruins. Because the rock of Jesus Christ is so powerful, ultimately, anyone and everyone who rejects him, they will fall on the stone. He will stand. They will crumble. When Peter here quotes Isaiah chapter 8, what he's proving here, again, Jesus will stand, unbelief will fall. Listen to how Ray Pritchard said this, and this is a pretty serious statement. But again, I think to love properly right now, I got to share this with you. This is true. You can't be neutral about Jesus. You can't. There are two people in this life, those who love him, those who reject him. Pritchard says, he will save you or he will crush you. There is no third choice. It's right here. Like, Robbie, I don't like what you're saying. It's right here in God's word. Robbie, it's a hard thing. Robbie, it's right here in God's word. Those who believe will be honored. Those who do not believe. And this is part of the love. To be true to the message today, to be true to the love and the grace of God, you have to know why you need to be saved. Because sin separates us from God. And if we trip and fall on the cornerstone of Jesus Christ in our rejection, we're not making it. Jesus will. But see, that's why Jesus has yet to return, because he loves so much. And his message of love right now is to say, any who come to him and believe in him, they will be saved. They will know the glories of heaven. They will know the truth of eternal life. But this is why those who reject him become unusable stones, because they reject the house of God. Therefore, if you reject the house of God, you're not a living stone. You're an unusable stone. Therefore, you are not part of the house of God. But I appeal to you today, even in the hard truth, I appeal that God is at work. I implore and I ask, oh God, may you be at work. And may there be people here even now who've never heard this in this way, have never had this explained like this in this way. And God is using that and the truth to open eyes to say, I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to be an unusable stone. I want to be a living stone, because Jesus Christ is the purpose of my life. How you become alive? It's belief that makes you alive. Faith is what unlocks this truth for your life. The honor is for those who believe. And if you believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, then you become to a living stone, alive. You will never die, because Jesus Christ has defeated death, and you become cemented in by grace into the part of God's house. That is awesome. That is beautiful. See, God's at work. God's at work. He's building a house. And secondly, God is doing this. He's chosen a people. God has chosen a people. So look now at verse 9. Verse 9, Peter says this, but you. So here comes the contrast. As opposed to those who have rejected Christ, now the contrast is to those who have received Christ. And here come the privileges of those who know Jesus Christ. But you, believers, but you, child of God, but you, woman who fears the Lord, but you, man who loves Jesus Christ, you are a chosen race. You are part of a chosen race. This is an incredibly beautiful statement. The word but, again, the contrast, the believe, the not believing, then the believe, but you do believe, a chosen race. And according to the word here, to belong to the chosen race, it means that you've been drenched by the grace of God. You belong to the chosen race before the foundations of the world, Ephesians chapter 1. God has set his affection upon you. You've been set apart for God. Be humbled by the words of Jesus Christ in John 15, where he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I have appointed you that you may go and bear much fruit. Jesus Christ so clearly says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And what Peter does next, he says, you are a chosen race. And what he does, he powerfully now alludes to Exodus 19, where the covenant of God between his people and the promises of God between his people were made. Look at the words of Exodus 19 and see how they match up with our text here. And actually, Peter quotes in some phrases exactly from the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. But here is a translation from the Hebrew. But notice how similar it is. He says, now therefore, in Exodus 19, if you will indeed obey my voice, God says, and keep my covenant, You shall be my treasure possession among all the peoples. For all the earth is mine, listen, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. And so notice how similar that is to our text right now. Now, why didn't this be fulfilled with Israel? Because it wasn't fulfilled with Israel because Israel broke their part of the covenant. Because of their rebellion, because of their sin, Israel forfeited their status with God. But listen, God's ultimate plan would not be thwarted. And I personally believe that God is a special place for the people of Israel in some way as I read Romans 9 through 11. But I believe all of them will be saved by Jesus Christ, not by just being a Jew. Everyone must come to faith by Jesus Christ. And that day is going to be a pretty neat day as the eyes of the Jewish people are opened and they rush in to acknowledge that the Messiah already has come and his name is Jesus. But here we see this, in this context, the covenant God made, if you do this, the people of God, they did not do this. Israel did not do this, but God's plan went forward regardless, his plan of salvation. And here was the plan. The plan of salvation would not mean the descendants who are saved are physical descendants. Rather, God's plan of salvation would mean the descendants would be spiritual descendants, belonging to heaven, sharing a spiritual ancestry, everyone who's rooted and founded in Jesus Christ. See, the Lord's at work here. He has chosen a race. He has given immense privileges to his children. You say, what are these privileges? That's what Peter does now. You are a chosen race. Notice this. You are a royal priesthood. So four things we have here under point number two. This is what God has done. If you are saved in Jesus Christ, this is what he has done. He has made you a priest. He has made them priests. Check this out, verse 9, a chosen race, a royal priesthood. And notice back in verse 5, I skipped over this, but I want to come back to that because it's very important. You are a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices. So Peter here, he's making a point and we must learn. What's the key here? You are a holy priesthood. You are a royal priesthood because of what Christ has done. The key to this is that in the Old Testament, God called a specific group of men to be priests, the Levites. And these men were set apart for special services to the Lord. The Levites carried special responsibilities. The most important duty that they had involved sacrifices. The Levites, or the priests, then became the go-between as it related to God and the people of God. And one of the most important things the priests would do is they would get an animal. They would slit its throat. They would drain the blood. And they would offer what remained, the carcass, on the altar of sacrifice. And there was one man, the high priest, who would offer the most important sacrifice of all on the Day of Atonement. Each year, and only this day, he would take the blood of a goat. He would go behind the veil or the curtain into the Holy of Holies, the most sacred place. He would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat, which was the golden lid of the Ark of the Covenant. And as he did this, as the blood was sprinkled, this signified that the sins of the people were atoned for, covered by blood. But here's the thing about the Day of Atonement. Only the high priest could offer this sacrifice, and only once a year. So it was one man, one sacrifice, only once a year. So what is clear as you read the sacrificial system found in the Old Testament sending a message that approaching God was not an easy thing or a light thing. And you would not trifle with this. Isaiah just put out his hand to steady the cart of the Ark of God and he was struck down dead. Approaching God was a fear and trembling, and one man once a year with one sacrifice got to do it in the most intimate way to access the presence of God. So the people then had to rely on a priest to get to God. And so the priest again served as a bridge between the people and God in a temporary way. So think about that then, when Peter now in our text says that you are a royal priesthood, that you are a holy priesthood, verse 5, offering spiritual sacrifices to our God. Think about how incredible that is. Think about what has changed then from one man to all believers in Jesus Christ now are called royal priests. How is this possible? Because of the great high priest. Because of Jesus Christ, as Hebrews so beautifully articulates, it says, because the great high priest came and made a once and for all sacrifice, that no more animals were needed because Jesus Christ made the sacrifice that satisfied what God demanded. And therefore, the curtain was torn. And therefore, the temple is no longer needed. And therefore, no access to the Father has been granted by all who trust and believe in Jesus Christ. You have to understand how incredibly massive this is for someone going from the old covenant to the new covenant. You have to understand what Peter is saying right here in verse 5 and verse 9, that you are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood, and now as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have full access to God at any time and any way, and you now are called, as I am, to make our lives a body of a living sacrifice, which is our spiritual worship because of all that Jesus Christ has done for us. You now, and there should be amens, because you get this theology, man, it is absolutely fantastic. We now are all called priests. We are part of the priesthood, again, offering spiritual sacrifices. The glory of this is you don't need men to get to God. Some churches still teach you need men to confess your sins. Not in Scripture, man. Not in the New Testament, that you need a man to read the Bible. No way. The only thing you need is the man, 1 Timothy 2:15. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men. The man. Jesus Christ is the man. The man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. Sin, what? Garden of Eden. We're with God, man and God. Sin separates us from God. Jesus Christ comes. People try to jump and get to God. I'm a good person. I've done good deeds. I say prayers. I go to church. I try to run and jump the chasm of sin and get to God. Every time you will fall down to death. All of sin falls short of the glory of God. There is one man, Jesus Christ, the mediator between God and man, the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is on the cross. And now the bridge is made between God and man only through one man, Jesus Christ. You see, and because of what he did, because of what he did now, all who believe in him and love him, now we are priests of God. Just imagine that. So now we have access, not one guy in the Holy of Holies once a year with some animal blood. No. Anytime you want, if you have faith in Jesus Christ, you have access to the Father. That is mind-blowing. And what you realize is when you're really there, what happens, you begin to offer your life as a sacrifice. You say, what does that look like, Robbie? It looks like a lot of things. It looks pretty beautiful. Here are ways we are to be offering spiritual sacrifices to God. I wrote 6 things down. How do you prove that you're a believer in Jesus Christ? You will offer spiritual sacrifices. Firstly, Romans 12, you will offer your life. Your whole life is a spiritual sacrifice to God. You have set yourself apart. You have been set apart to live for Christ. Your body, men and women here. Your body is an offering of a spiritual sacrifice. What you do with your body, does it honor the Lord? You offer your time in this way as a spiritual sacrifice to the Lord. Our lives are offered. Next, our praise, the Bible says, is a spiritual offering. With our lips, I'm telling you, singing matters to God. He loves a people. Do you know how many commands in Scripture are shout for joy, sing for joy, lift your voice, clang the cymbals? I mean, it is everywhere in Scripture. If you don't sing, you got a problem. And the Bible has a problem with you because we're to rejoice in the things of God. It's part of our spiritual offering. If you come to church and you're like this, that's not much of a spiritual offering. I don't think that's going right. If your heart's all hard and you're bored and you're sitting there, but if you're coming and you may not be like the person going, woo, like this, and you might be quietly, but you're reverent, that is a spiritual offering to the Lord. Your lips matter to God. That is a spiritual offering that we give every day. Are you one of those guys drives in the car and sings you top of your lungs to Jesus Christ? Bless you, man. That's fantastic. That's awesome. God loves that. You're like, my voice isn't so good. God doesn't care. He cares about the heart. The heart, a spiritual offering to the Lord, our lives, our praise. Hey, listen, our giving. If you understand that Jesus Christ has paid for your sins and now you have access to the Father, you are now a priest with God. that you now are become a royal priest, right? Right? You understand I've been given all of life and I want to give to the kingdom of God, which represents everything of any value in this world. I don't want to give to the world. I'm not going to live for the world. Are you kidding me? What a bad investment. I want to give to the kingdom to multiply treasures on earth, treasures leading to heaven, is what I meant to say. And all that God wants to do there. I mean, just think about that. So how you handle your pocketbook is a reflection of your spiritual worship. It has to be. Because you can't separate your treasure from your heart. Where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Spiritual offerings to God. Here's the next one I wrote down. Our generosity. The sharing of ourselves for people. When we love other people, that's a spiritual offering, a sacrifice, a form of praise to our God. I wrote down our good works. Our good works, of course, a spiritual offering acceptable through Christ. And lastly, I wrote down this, our love. We offer spiritual sacrifices with our love. Why? Because he has made us priests of God. Next, look at this. He has made us holy. Because he has chosen a people, he has now made them holy. So look what it says in verse 9. It says that you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. A holy nation, a people for his own possession. A holy nation, it says. So in Christ here, listen to this, we are not only a new spiritual race, not only a new spiritual priesthood, but in Christ. I mean, just this theology is just, it just hurts my mind in a good way. We are now also a new spiritual nation. A nation not based on ethnicity, a nation not based on language, a nation not based on geography, a nation based on faith in Jesus Christ. And faith in Jesus Christ leads to holiness in Jesus Christ. Because why? You've been set apart for God. Why? Because your calling is heavenly, not worldly. This means your affections are for what's above. This means your purpose is found in what's above. This means you cannot look like the world. Hey, look right here, look right here, look right here. In Christ, you can't look like the world because you're not of the world. You've been born from above. You've been born again. You've been made holy. You are a holy nation. So if we look like the world, it's foreign to what is actually within us if we're truly saved in Jesus Christ. We are set apart for greater things. And understand this, you've been granted the highest privilege in the universe. You are a child of God because you belong to a holy nation. God is gathering for himself a nation. He's made us priests. He's made us holy. He's made them this. He's made them his. You've been set apart to belong to God, a people for his own possession. I hope you're encouraged by this truth. You know, I love to say about this, you've been adopted into the family of God. You are a people for, just think of his own possession. I love to say about this, when you're saved in Christ, that means God has a picture of you in his wallet. And he likes to flip it open and all the pictures come down. There's a lot of them. It hits the floor and beyond. And he opens up and he goes, look, here's my child. Some of you are here right now and you've had a very hard time and you're very discouraged and you're in a place of heartache or weakness. The most powerful truth that will set you free from this, the most powerful truth that will carry you through this is to understand, listen, the Lord has not forgotten about you. He has not misplaced you. He is not wondering where you are. You belong to him. You have to stare at this verse right now and you have to say, I'm part of a chosen race, a royal priesthood. I'm part of a holy nation. I am part of a people who belong to the possession of God. You are his. And whenever he makes you his, he will never cast you out. He will never lose you. The good shepherd never loses one sheep. He goes and finds them and keeps them forever, forever. This is a word for many here right now. In Christ, you belong to God. He has you. Again, look at verse 10. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So read this and weep, loved ones. Weep for joy. Once you were not God's people, now you are. Once you had not received mercy, now you have. Once separated from God, now we belong to him. Oh, loved ones in Jesus Christ, adopted members in the family of God for now and forever. He has made us priests. He has made us holy as believers in Jesus Christ. He has made him his. And now finally this, he has made us heralds. And look at verse 9 now. Verse 9, it says, a people for his own possession. Notice why. That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The word proclaim there means messenger. Someone to send, to herald. Someone to herald. To herald what? To herald his excellencies, which is greatness, the honor, the reverence of God, the glory of God. And the reality of this is if you understand you've been chosen by God, a royal priesthood, holy nation, a people for his own possession, and all that he's done for you, he has made you a royal priest. Here's the question. How can we hold back that which has been given to us? How can we hold back from others the message of life that has been entrusted to us? How can we not now proclaim the truth of the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ, and the glory of Jesus Christ from the very thing that has set us free? How can we hold back the reality that we were called out of darkness into his marvelous light? The answer is, if you really know Christ and you're growing in Christ and you understand what Christ has given you, then you can't hold it back. You must tell. Hey, are you burdened like me when you see people? I mean, even today, I was out with a team with my son. Even today, a burden in my heart for people to be able to speak the message of Jesus Christ, and praying that I would, and praying that I can, and praying that I must, and trying to make plans of opportunities that I have to do it because I love those who don't know Jesus Christ, and I want them so much to know the reality of what I have. Because we proclaim the excellence of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. You see, he's made us heralds of this good news. And so if we get this, we must proclaim this. You know, I love so much. I love so many baptism testimonies or testimonies of people in Christ in this church of recent days. How did this happen? Well, my friend asked me to come to church. Well, my friend started sharing faith in me in Jesus Christ. Well, my brother, well, my coworker, oh, my, this person got me to come. This person said, this person. It's happening. People in this church love Jesus Christ, and they know they're part of a holy nation, and they are wanting so much for others to become part of the same thing. So God is at work, loved ones. He's building a house. He's chosen a people. And so my job today and my honor today is I get to proclaim to you that God is awesome. I get to proclaim to you that Jesus Christ is Lord, and he is the Savior of this world. I get to proclaim to you there's only one way to eternal life. There's only one person who can forgive your sins. His name is Jesus Christ. I get to proclaim to you today that if you place your faith for the forgiveness of your sins in Jesus, and you say the name of Jesus, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, I get to proclaim to you, the Bible says, you shall be saved. And then you become a living stone cemented by grace into the spiritual house of God that will never, ever be ruined. The earth will fall apart. Jesus Christ and his word will remain forever. Oh God, may you work upon the lives of the people in this church and those even now may be visiting. May you be working in a special way.
If you'd like to hear this message again or the rest of the messages from this series, you can find these free resources and more on our website at liveinthelight.ca. That's liveinthelight.ca. If you'd like to get a copy of the entire series, make sure you phone us at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-225-4448. Our mailing address in Canada is 500 Great Lakes Boulevard in Oakville, Ontario. Our postal code is L6L6X9. I'm Craig Turnbull, and on behalf of Robbie Simons, we invite you to join us again next time on Live in the Light.